Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for another opportunity and I'm glad it was late. I'm sorry, I come in with a worship in my heart. Yeah. You know, when I woke up this morning, realize it was an alarm clock that woke me up. Many times I wake up, he just wake me up right on time. I set my clock in, I always wake up before my clock even goes off. But thank God, even in the pain, I thank God, he's going to give me another opportunity. If I fall short, to get it right, and I thank God. And I know all my life I ain't always got it right. But one thing I do know, family, if I do my brother and sister wrong in life, we as Christians don't have a thing called a spiritual conscience. Your spiritual conscience will bother you and bother you and bother you. Following you to your ancestors for years. And I have been like that many times in my life. That's why I know that I know that I know that I know who Jesus is. In 2000, I'm going to share my testimony with y'all. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to turn on to you. Okay.
I'll have it all, you know. It's been good for a check, y'all.
He said, you have an enlarged heart.
He said, you what?
I said, I got a big heart. I love people. No, you don't understand my plan here. You have your heart in his enlarged.
I said, oh, okay.
So I'm still, you know, I'm still laughing, joking around about it.
And she said, this is serious. So if they ran more tests, we ran more tests. They came back to me and said,
it went from an enlarged heart to, he's got to have open heart surgery. I said,
okay, this is serious now. This is serious. So they came to me and said, well, when we open you up, do you want a ram, a sheep, a cow, to find what do you call an aneurysm around my eye aorta? They call it. I said, you never heard of an aneurysm or whatever. Some of the words I didn't even know how to say, but he said, so I said, aneurysm around my aorta, if you want to stand here, a week later, you might have not been here. And I said, God's grace and mercy. So as they told me, we don't have to have spirit, we don't have to have the cow, the lamb, blood, put a something artificial in you to fix that iota problem. So all the way until I got time to have this operation, I was able to give my answer about what I wanted to put in there. And they always said I was willed into my operation. They asked me, what you going to put in? I thought, I don't know. So, I never forget the look on my mama's face when she looked at me. You know, my mama is strong. But when she see her child going through something that she can't control, she gave me a look like, I trust you, Lenora, but please let me let my baby stay with the church. She had that look on her face, she didn't have to say something. But I'm going to get to the end of it. So as I went in and had the surgery done, nothing but God. This is how God is. When they opened me up, they was able to fix the situation with my own power where I didn't need a cow. I didn't need a sheep. He showed me, all you got to do is trust in me. And he made it all right. So when I came on the Thursday, I heard this cry. There was someone crying. A lady was crying. And while she was crying, as I was going to my thing, I started praying for her. Because I didn't know what was going on. But come to find out, her husband is late. But all I could think was, I'm in this one crying, I'm praying the Father to be with her. Father, just give us strength. Help us through this. There's no way you can have it. All I could do was a crying. But all I could do was pray. But I just want to share that testimony with you. And that's why I don't care what I tell my wife, I tell my children, I tell everyone. I know. Jesus is real. If I didn't know he was real before, I know he's real now. It's 2021 and I'm still here. Jesus is real. And I just thank him for this opportunity that be in this world and giving him the praise, the honor, not me, that he deserves for saving me. Just saving me. I ran from a long time for being saved because I still want to do a lot of things in the world. Some things I didn't want to let go. I was another drink. Smoking a little weed. I smoked a little weed. Yeah. But the things that why I had to let go, I used to love to dance. I was a dancer one time. I was a dancer. I could dance 12 up. But now Jesus changed my heart. Where? I keep my money in my pocket, I ain't getting from. Ain't got to worry about going into Monday morning broke because I'm putting all my money in the club. Now you thank God. Then my children, when they see me out there back in the world, they said to me, but they never knew me as being a person that go to club, drink, smoke. And when my son sees me like that, he's like, Dad, you need to get, now, they said a child will leave, a child will tell you something. But Dad, you need to get yourself back into the church. Because I ain't never seen you like this before. The drinking, the cussing, the swearing, I never seen you like that. Now, my son tells me that he doesn't. All he knows is Dad going to church, Sunday after Sunday. Tuesday night. Bible study. Y'all already know. And I just thank God that God is so good. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good. I thank you, Jesus. Just as I was weary in this time. I found in him a resting place that he has made. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. I'm saying this one verse, I'm thinking alone. Must Jesus be the cross alone in all the world around. So there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me.
Thank you.
Certain person, man. I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the, all of these going to be a record book. Some of y'all be talking about, I'm going to do that. I wanted to do a Monday night. The Lord's been pushing stuff in my spirit the last couple of months. And the first revival then is where you stand. Are you saying that for the Lord? This revival is for his Lord. The next revival, you know, we don't understand why I'm getting ready for the next revival. The first two were the best ones. And the message is going to hit. How can I say this? I've been saying my whole life. And I'm going to give you what I'm going to thank you to everyone that came out. But I'm true to what I've been called to do. And since I've been in Prince Tabernacle, it's like I found the Almighty hidden doors. The hidden treasure that's around the place. And the Lord was leading me, and he was like, you can sit there not doing it. And I said to myself, yeah, I was brought up to do what I was called to do. Being an elder or answering a call isn't just preaching every little bit of advice. When you get called by the Lord, it's just not doing what religious people is not just, it's more to it. You don't have to brag about what you say. You don't have to brag about it, but you should be doing stuff for the Lord. And normally in my spirit, and I don't know what's going on with me, my wife has been fasting. And I'm going to look at what else is going on. I went a whole week with no TV, no sports center, no nothing. Just sitting at my desk. Just sitting at my desk. Trying to figure out what the Lord is trying to say. So we had the revival coming up, and I want to thank all the speakers that were here, everyone that participated, everyone that supported it. I really appreciate it. There's some hidden treasures that were in the revival. And if you heard the word that was preached on Friday night, if you listened to all four of the speakers that preached, so there was nothing going on. And then on Sunday morning, I don't know what was going on Sunday morning, but it's like the Holy Ghost just had a way. And you heard stuff. I don't know what people were going through, but you hear stuff. This change. And it's coming to my conclusion. And I know I'm not going to be popular after tonight, but I'm kind of tired of having the same old church. We come to church, pastor get up, he greets everybody, make everybody feel like they don't come together. So, hey man, I'm just telling you how to believe in to preach. We go home, and that's all it is. You go to Bible study, we get great Bible study, we get great words on Tuesday night, and then we just keep it moving. There's nothing different. But when we come into the house of the Lord, I'm going to get into the message in a minute. There are these changes that come along. Not just with you, I'm talking about me now. I'm not talking about you. When I come into the house of the Lord, the Spirit of God is so, if we're in His presence, what are we really tapping into? His power. A change is when we come in, we should go out here. So when I see you out here today, there ought to be some type of difference about it. I'm not saying I'm standing up running to the devil, but when you come into the house of the Lord, there ought to be something different about you.
Yes.
The reason I said wear red, because red represents his blood. His blood represents his power. And had he not shed his blood on Calvary's cross, we wouldn't have nowhere to go. So every day we get up, we got to have red on our mind. Because if you think about what you get on, should nothing be able to defeat you? around, and if he puts you in position and you don't How do you expect to be effective in the game? And there's schools that need to be saved. There's people who are struggling who need somebody. And all the types of people, not just church people, people in the church world, there's people who ain't never been to church, they need somebody. Okay, and it may not be come from Elder Oliver, but it comes from Evangelist Sanders. So we got to be ready and be on our team. I'm not saying we need to brag about everything that we do. I'm saying be ready so when we come into God's house, we got to be simple, like we know what's going on. And when you were practicing, sometimes when you, some of the best, I was watching about the dream team. Some of the best games they had were they were practiced against each other. You know, it was close to everybody else, but they were practiced amongst each other. So when they went out, they knew how to act accordingly. And see, when we go out, I don't know if we know how to represent the ring, the blood thing that Jesus did on how it's called. Because out of the automatic fire that shot up in, regardless of what's going on around, there ought to be something that people be like, I want to hang out with you. I want to go with your home. Because there's something about you that's a little bit different. And the thing that's different about us is we were saved by his blood. We were saved by his blood. If he didn't get whipped, if he didn't get nailed, that he was doing that for us. That's why we need to understand sometimes when we walk into our everyday life. We need to represent what Jesus Christ did. But what we do, we want to represent the team of Praise Tabernacle. And the team of Praise Tabernacle did not die for you. The team of Praise Tabernacle did not heal. The team of Praise Tabernacle did nothing for you. So we want to come here and act like we all of that. And then we walk right back out there. There's nobody left here with you. It's time that we
Now I want to ask a question. This is, they were just
with Jesus a few hours ago. They were just with Jesus. And they saw him on the water and was afraid because they could not recognize him. All right, see, I'm going somewhere. Y'all don't even see me coming. Sometimes we come in the church and we don't even recognize Jesus. We don't recognize him. Because we see everything else but Jesus. That these people were hanging around Jesus. So this represents the church. And do come to church and see everybody but Jesus. And they were afraid. And even though they were afraid, even when he spoke to them, so Jesus is speaking to some of y'all to do something, to act somewhere, and go somewhere. But we're so scared because we don't even know. We just hang out with them. There's a difference when you hang out with someone and when you know someone. Because when you know someone, you'll know them from a distance. When you know someone, you can hear their voice calling you. When you know someone, but if you don't know them, you get a little scared. You get a little wishy-washy. You get a little afraid. But there out of the 12, one said, that must be Jesus. And if it's you, can I come out there? And Jesus told them to come on. Now see, what I'm trying to tell you to do, and I preached this before, it's time for us to get out of the boat. It's time for us to go do what God's called us to do and stop being wishy-washy and staying in the boat. Because the disciples stayed in the boat after they were hanging with Jesus. Because they really didn't know what Jesus was about. They really didn't know what Jesus was going on. Because they just wanted to be around somebody to get some stuff from them. See, people come to church and want to just get stuff and take, but they don't ever want to get nothing back. See, Peter had enough sense to say, if that's you, let me come out on the water with you. If that is you, and Jesus said, well, come on, Peter. Now, I don't understand this, but there was only one, but there were 12 disciples. You need to tell me only one person had enough sense to see that that was Jesus. You need to tell me there was only one that had enough sense to hear Jesus' voice. Now, I'm thinking about this all night that I'm working. I'm like, this sounds like the church to me. The church is going to stay on the boat and be comfortable and be scared. And don't want to throw no lick. They don't want to do anything because they are afraid because they don't know Jesus. And how are we supposed to win souls to Christ if we don't know Jesus? If we don't answer the call to walk on the water, how are we supposed to change the community? How can we represent who Jesus Christ is to us when we always struggle staying on the boat? We always want to be on the boat looking like we got something going on, but yet we don't want to go into the water because it looks like it's a little dangerous. It looks like it's a tossing and turning. It don't look familiar. And then we want to hide on the boat without Jesus. Amen. And then we want to make sure that it is Jesus. But Peter had enough sense. People say he didn't have faith. That's why he stopped. He did not sit because he did not have faith. He said, for doubt and unbelief, because we all got a little bit of faith. And that little bit of faith had him walking on the water, but he started looking at the circumstances. And when you start looking at the circumstances, the coronavirus is going to keep you making it cheaper why you should for your God. Because you're looking at the circumstances. I'm not going to take the exception. I don't want to scare nobody. But what I'm here to tell you is when Jesus is for you, he can't nobody be against you. Amen. You need to understand that when you're walking on the water, Jesus is right there with you. Amen. You just got to keep your eyes focused on him and don't doubt. Don't look at the circumstances, because when you start looking at the circumstances, that's why families are failing right now, because they're looking at the circumstances. They're looking at what's going on, and who we get a life, and doing all this other stuff that ain't got no business being worried about. You were just with Jesus on the road. She was just together, happy, and having a good time. Now all of a sudden, you want to look at somebody else's circumstances and think that that's the same circumstances that you need. You've got to understand that you are serving Jesus. You're not like everybody else. You are different than everybody else. You can walk on the water, but you got to get out of the boat. And I promise every man and every woman that's in this assembly to get out of the boat and go do what God has called you to do and stop being sick. We want to be a pleasure. We want to come to church and feel good. We want to come to church and have someone give us a handout or have the bishop talk about us or make a joke about us. Well, I didn't come here for us to be playing church. It's time to get serious about Christ. in our life to start doing what God is calling us to do. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and I'm telling people mad right now. If I write it on what you always want to do stuff and say stuff, well, I got to tell you because I got to tell them on the shoulders or what's going on. Because we're pushing him on notice, I'm checking his temper. He don't know where we're coming from. He don't know what's going on. You need to tell me him all of you gonna go out and pass tracks out in the hot sun. So I've been in training for the last 2 years walking around the park, just walking. And the Lord, all you gotta do is hand this out. Because every time I go to the park, and I don't know if the same thing happens to the bishop when he's walking, but there's only one or two people that you come in contact with. It's just maybe a eye contact. It's just say, what's going on? How you doing? That's how you start to minister and build up your kingdom. Because somebody got something that they want to, and all they need is a word. And you give them that word because you represent the race. The red represents the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. There might not be a minute or a day or a second that you're not thinking about what he did for you. So you can do something for him on an everyday basis. Stop being babies as Christians and start growing up to be a woman, grow up and be a man, and do this for Christ. One thing I do not want to do, I never was brought like this. I do not want to come to church and check in and walk out and go home and not talk about Jesus Christ. It's time that we do something for Christ. He's given us an example. The disciples were on the boat, and they just sat there. And when he says when he was, this is what he said. He said, it's Jesus in his eyes. I was just with you. And they were still sick. If I see bishops walking on the water, I'm going to walk on the water. Not to be a copycat. But if the Lord can bless him to walk on the water, I'm going right behind him to walk on the water. Amen. I don't know what y'all talking about. I'm telling you, when people get blessed and start doing what you want to do, what they're doing, in order to do what they're doing, you got to follow what they're doing. If they're following the voice of Christ, you got to follow the voice of Christ. If these are following the voice of Christ and bless them, why can't you bless me? Amen. But what we want to do, we want to have all the pity. That's what that all those degrees and sit down and act intelligent and not do nothing and just sit on the boat and have a meeting and talk about one another. This is how we do this. This is how we do this. We know this for years like this. And no one is getting the same. No one is getting healed. These people come to church, they go out the same way, bondage stuff. Going on crying at night because of that situation, they don't know how to deal with it. It's time out for all of that. It's time out for the church, being the church. And it's time out for that. It's time for the church to start playing the game the way Christ wants. And that's getting out of the boat. And if you mess up, it's okay. The Peter got distracted. And immediately, it wasn't a whole lot of sex. It wasn't a whole fist that right hand from CPR. Immediately, he picked him up.
Yep.
And walked him back into the boat. And then, when they get in the boat, this is what church people do. What's the disciples who they got on the boat? Yeah. Oh, you must be.
You must be, man.
The son of the house. You must be. Now, he was just waiting. And when he came in the midst of the storm, because he always wants Jesus to come when it gets bad, and you don't recognize it. Then when you talk to him, it is not, it is bad. You still don't want him to get out of the boat. But yet, when Jesus comes all the way to come up in your house, now, you won't have any faith about it. So now I'm thinking about the church. The only time we want to have church is when we're in the boat. That's the only time we want to have church. And if someone has the damage to come out of the boat, yeah, we'll come. This is the hour I need you to preach on Sunday. I'm right there. But this other time, I'm not on the water. Wait. Y'all not here. Y'all not here. He could be on the water. And I'm on the boat. But when he calls me, Or he comes on the boat and tells me he needs something from the boat. I can do that. It's not in my comfort zone. And I'm getting on that every evening, everybody, all the time, even myself. And the reason I'm getting on myself is because I come from a background. When we didn't do nothing, every week we were out as a pastor. We were out with, and we wasn't but an hour. We would hit a neighborhood and just go and pass out. And then a few weeks later, somebody would come into the house because we didn't have it to him. And they were searching for something that we gave them. If it's just a hello. But we would come in here and shout. God has blessed us. He has said us, and we're rich. The world is rich. But the world is rich, but the labor is few.
Yeah.
And when I say the labor is few, I don't know. I know certain people that do certain things. And you don't have to brag or boast about it. But if you're a fruit, you should have some fruit behind you. There should be something in you. That something. When we come to church on Sunday, even on tonight, there ought to be a difference. When you walk out of this place, I know we all believe in the Bible, you know what the point is, but that ought to be something different.
Yeah.
If we're under his anointing,
yeah.
We're under his presence.
Yeah.
If we're in his presence, you can't tell me that you can come in his presence and act the same way when you come in and you go out when you're in God's presence. So when you hear the keyboard, whether it's a keyboard or organ or whatever it is, when you hear that sound, something out of people you speak out in your spirit and tells you. Another day. There's people on your job, in your family that need you to shed that load on them because they need a savior. Amen. I know somebody got somebody that needs Jesus in their life. I know somebody that you know someone that needs the gift that you need to be doing what you need to be doing. I know it wasn't going to be a loud church tonight. I know it wasn't going to be a popular church. I know we talked about the last night.
Amen.
And I'm done. I'm done. You ain't get to shout, that's on you. But I'm done. I said I'm going to be a few minutes and I'm done. But it's on the last night. I'm all over the place while I'm at work. Want to know about the revival. Want to know why I got crazy bizarre preaching. You know me talking about he knows where he's from. And the Bible says, no, no man knows the day or the time. So I think the whole time that he preached, he didn't predict the day or the time. He just said the time was coming through. So when you want to sit up and come and talk to me about another brother or something like that, that just tells me you're not really on the same page. Amen. And that's all right. And you got other people who don't like me on the hall because they think I'm a little crazy and I just say what I want to say. What I do is I'm under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So when I'm under the spirit of the Holy Spirit, you get mad at me. I'm glad you did that because I must be doing my job. So if you want to be lazy and sit at home,
I got to say it. You're going to go in here. You're going to want to play. The first guy can judge.
you might make a little close to that, but you ain't get in the gate. He gonna tell you go right. He gonna say, hell with you. I didn't know.
I don't know.
That's what he got. That is the way I want to say that. He may not use the word, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. There's a book, and if your name ain't in the book, I feel sorry. You better start drinking a lot of lumber right now. And it still ain't gonna be able to do that for you. I'm gonna get hands away. And I just want to be at a place in my life right now until the devil keeps attacking. Now I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to do much work for God. So he's going to attack me. But the funny thing is, the more he attacks me, the more we're going to grow. The more we're going to grow. So I understand people not going to like what I say and what I do. But at the same time, you got to answer and look in the mirror at themselves and go through with Christ and what he needs to do. And because I didn't church, save the time, I'm going to be 50. And since I didn't church a long time, I'm just church free. And I'm not a church. I'm the church. And I come off the peace game into something different. And I know the last few Sundays, something different has been going on. And I don't know if you feel it in that happen. But there's something different going on. And it's a different thing. People don't come in here today. People come in here and get it. People come in here. And if we dedicate me by that, because we serve that type of God, there are too many blessings. There are too many guilt. There are too many people who could have went to the left, but they stayed on the right track. Too much gold word for us to sit in here and keep it to ourselves. And I'm glad, and I just wanted to let the bishop know that I appreciate him for allowing me to do what God has called me to do. Because there's some churches that you want to make a difference. I also want to thank you for entrusting me with having your kids play the music for us. Amen. That little glory, when we go from here, we learn from them, that's a whole nother. That's a whole nother building. You might get a building. And what they started in on Bible, $9.95 on the service, that's what Paul church. They didn't only talk about that. $9.95 that stadium. I had a brother call me last night and say, hey, I can get out of there and play for you. I said, okay, it wasn't going to ever happen. But the price, I just wanted to hear, so I had laughed. Almost made me lose my memory. This is what you go through when you get into this. So you got to be careful who you allow to come in. You got to be careful when you fellowship. My job is to look for peace when you look for the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's it. Now, if you don't want to pray to God, you want to come in and look like a buffalo on the wall, that's on you. But when you sit there all over the seat, you don't want to have a conversation with me after. Right? You want to talk to me after I even speak. I wonder why you say what I think. Why are you always talking about the terms that he preaches? Well, hey, because I get you. That's number one, because I get you. Number two is because when I preach behind the I'm under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So whatever comes out of my mouth, you got to take it up with the Lord. Now, if you want to try me, I might not be there yet. I will go back and forth with you. But at the same time, these Negroes don't want to go back and forth because they know I can expose them. Come on. I ain't never get so many messages from Ohio in my life for one night. We came all the way here to preach revelation. I got a lot of comments about the revival. Well, you should have did this, you should have did that. But I don't see nobody else doing it. But what I should have put on the wood done, if you would have been on my team, then you should have got it done. But when you're one person and you're working to try to build to do, and you're trying to do what God put on you, you still with the people around. And I'm so thankful for the ladies of God that Amen. I want to thank those in the beast, what's coming out. So yeah, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Don't think that this message will get here. It's time to help out and get out of the boat. The negative box, it is no make sense. We will be campus in the air. I'm not going to let everybody, talk with me on a regular basis. I'm not going to let anything you just don't know do or keep the belief with you. So
I want to thank the Lord for them, for being a part of the revival.
and that Elder Stokes was going to do some things. And I never had an opportunity to work with him or to talk to him because of the pandemic, where he was born. But I can tell you, we can relate to what we went through, because I sort of went through the same thing. And it's hard, but I was so glad to see him up, giving God the glory. It was a blessing. When you go through these things and the things that get up here, y'all don't understand when you go through people and radiation. Yeah, you get dealing with the cancer, but you got like 10 other things that you got to deal with. And I just want to thank the Lord for the men. I want to thank the Lord for Mr. Neil Green. I want to thank the Lord for Peterson, Minister Peterson, coming out on Friday. And Minister Wright for being out here. And Evangelist Wright, their daughter, is really speaking to a whole other level with her testimony on Friday and her rap about generational curse. That just really speaking to a whole other level. It got me having a debate with my wife about this testimony. I'm a parent. I'm not going to be a parent. I'm a parent. I'm just a people in high end, and most of them get that in 20 years, they didn't get them to this long. Why, so you gotta let them do it now. They can be some assistance. They don't want them to be mad. They won't be the first person to be mad. So I'm gonna start being obedient and going to the Lord. I'm not high end from the Lord. It isn't what it is. It isn't what it is. And now we gotta be insane. I'm gonna try to open my mind. You come in.
I pray for everybody that came out on tonight. Also, pray for everybody that played a part in the revival on this weekend. We're grateful for everyone that participated. And for those who just gave an encouraging word, text, call, we appreciate y'all as well. I did want to say something real quick if I can. We do the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18, and I. And for a long time, that scripture, I thought it was for people who are missionaries. You got to go out, you know, to other countries and do things for other countries. And it's like, okay, so. From the clergy to the congregation, we're all supposed to be growing. We're all supposed to be doing it. Everybody's supposed to be doing it. So if you are a child of God, I encourage you to just go. Wherever you are, whatever you do, just go. Be an example for the Lord to the people that you meet. It's not on the pastor. It's on you as a child of God. Do what you're supposed to do. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that you need to keep in mind is what you do for Christ, that's only thing that's going to last. The only thing, this world, everything will fade away. What you do for Christ is going to be the end result of everything that you do for eternity. So, with that being said, once again, thank y'all for coming out. I hope I'll be more. After you join us on tomorrow night, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Rock Talk Radio for our Bible study. Also, if you have any prayer requests or if you have any testimonies, you can also email us at ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's T like praise, T like tabernacle, T like Christ, for Christ, and that's forchrist@gmail.com. After everybody's stand, we're going to go ahead and dismiss, and thank you again for joining us today. Bible break, Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate everyone for listening. Father God, we come to do this evening. Thank you for just giving us breath in our bodies. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask that you continue to keep us safe and covered in your blood. We ask for your loving arms of protection to lead us and guide us on this journey. We pray for everybody that they have a blessed and awesome week. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I got one.